One of the other fascinating things I found about them was I asked them about their attitude towards other Iranis, and because that was one of the things that they have fought a war and many of them had died, and they told me that number one, the Shias did not want to fight the Iranian nation, and Saddam Hussein had conscripts from Shias, and they would have a they would actually kill any Shia that tried to run away from the army. Or not fight, and also they would kill their families, so they were forced to fight. And then they said that we have a lot of love and respect for Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh. He's a mujtahid and he's a great person. And they said we, Saddam Hussein tried very, very hard for us to hate the Iranis, but we love them and consider them our brothers because they cry on Imam Hussein. So it was fascinating for me to see that the, we have been reading Ziyarat-e-Ashura for such a long time. We're here in Canada and everywhere else, every center that we go to and everywhere we go, we have so many arguments and fights. And in Iraq, it literally seemed to me that their criteria for being friends or for being enemies with somebody is really that that sentence of Ziyarat-e-Ashura. Inni Salman liman salamikum wa harban liman harabikum. So they basically said that how can we fight with the Iranis when we see them come here and cry on our Imam Hussein? So as long as they come here and do matam on Imam Hussein, they are our brothers. And then we also had people on the microphones during this journey, the people who had special permits to take cars, and they were announcing this message of unity and saying that all Shias are brothers. And it was so fascinating to see that these people that we may consider not as educated as us have this completely, completely correct in their approach of how they view the world through the lens of Karbala and how they see people as their friends or their enemies, based on their Karbala. And this is one of the things I really found out that all the mu'mineen that were there from all these different countries, I mean, no matter where we live, the real watan of a mu'min is the haram of the Imam Hussein in Karbala. And there was such a bond being shared amongst people who spoke different languages. And I had just had the opportunity, alhamdulillah, to go for Hajj, but the difference was so great. Unfortunately, at Hajj, I saw so many scenes of what I would call in Urdu as nafsa nafsi, of people trying to, be rude to each other, of trying to top up each other. And here, the spirit and the passion was completely reserved. If there was a line for a washroom, there was an argument about who goes first. People were trying to be so helpful to each other. There was just this spirit that what, tell me what I can do for you so that I can be. I can be a person who served the zayat of an imam, and that to me was a spirit that I had heard about, but to experience it in reality was an experience unlike anything that I had imagined, and it was so widespread. As I said, the first day I encountered, I thought it was a rare phenomena, but during the time we had so many people offer to carry our luggage, we had such love being expressed from people. People invited us to their homes. People really opened up their hearts, and the most fascinating things is that many of these people are not very rich, and they're not, they're not people. They're people who have lost a lot. I find people that are where I live right now in Canada, where we have small problems, and we are depressed, and we are whining, and we are complaining about not having this or not having that. And here are people who have. Most of them have lost relatives, they have lost family, they have lost businesses, but their attitude was so fascinating. It was unbelievable when I talked to some of them because there were a few blasts. I mean, it was generally very safe considering the number of people that were there, 15 to 20 million people. Every life is important. We had, I think, a few blasts when we were there that killed about a couple of hundred people. But if you look at the just from a statistical standpoint, there are more murders committed in Toronto or New York or any other big city in that manner compared to the number of people that were killed during this process. Of course, I'm not trying to belittle the value of a human life, which is every life is important, but in general, just from a mathematical standpoint, I felt pretty safe in terms of this particular journey. But when I was asking the Iraqis and I was talking to them about this really positive attitude they had after all of the things that they had gone through, and I asked my friend Amar and said, aren't you concerned about all these bombings and everything? And he said, why should I be concerned? If Imam Hussein can give his life and his whole family's life for me, why can't I give my life for him? And what better way to die than to die on my way to Karbala? And it was not this thing where he was trying to show off or he was trying to sound righteous. It was just a very plain statement of faith, and a statement of faith that he and many other Iraqis we found completely believed on. And it wasn't even something that they considered to be a very high value. It was just something that became that came that was it's kind of ingrained in them that Imam Hussein is our leader, and we will do anything for Imam Hussein, alayhi salam. So again, the spirit was so positive from a people that have lost so much and have so little. Their hearts were so big, the way they were sharing with each other, the cooperation I found within the mokibs, the way that they would share the work, the way that they were trying to compete with each other only in the manner of who can serve the most, even within a mokib, who would do sort of the dirtiest job, who would clean the washroom, who would do the cooking, who would pick up something. It was fascinating, and I had a chance, for example, we had a chance to stay at a number of mokibs. One of them was owned by my friend Amar's uncle called Abu Zaid, who was such a nice gentleman and such a wonderful, hospitable person. That I have very rarely in my life have come across a better person, just in terms of his personality and the grace and the dignity that emanated from it. And this we could sense, although again we did not speak the same language. And I asked him and other people about how do they do this. I mean, this whole logistical operation of tens of billions of water bottles being given out, again, not being given out, this whole arrangement, how is this being managed? And typically it's just a group of farmers or people or normal people just coming together as friends and putting up a mokib through which they want to serve the Zawar of Imam Hussein. So it's not something that that is planned, or that is something that is only done by rich people. In fact, you could very clearly see that everybody was trying to do what they can. We met people who were, for example, just distributing khajur. We had people who have, I had a person that insisted that he, if we wait for 5 minutes, he would give us steaks, and we had to leave because we were running late. When I tried to tell him that we can't stay, he just said it would be 5 minutes. And basically, then we realized that the steak he was going to make was from a cow that was still standing right there and doing moo, and he was going to cut the cow for us, slaughter it, I guess, make it up, cut it into steaks, and then barbecue them for us. And he was very, very disappointed that we did not stay and enjoy his cow right there. So many of them buy a small cow, they feed it during the year so that they can give it as nazar. At this particular mokibs. And again, we also even found people who were just distributing napkins. That was all they could afford, and so they had like tons of napkins that they had bought, and to the people passing by, they were just passing the napkins. So overall, it was an experience that was unbelievable. It took us about 2 days and a few hours. I mean, you could easily do it in a day and a half or maximum 2 days. We went really slow because, again, it's first of all, it's not a race, and we really wanted to enjoy the experience. By enjoy, I mean understand the local Iraqi culture, talk to them about all sorts of issues. We talked to them about the local politics, where they described how, for example, many of them had a lot of respect for Sayyid Muqtada Sadr because they found that he's standing up to the Americans, and that he really cares about the people, and that many people that represent him are common people who mingle around in the poor, amongst the poor. They also generally seem to be quite positive about their future, and most of all, they were very, very enthusiastic about again this enthusiastic about the fact that they could now perform azadari without the brutal crackdowns of the era of Saddam, Lanatullah Alayh. We also ran into one of Amar's cousin called Ahmed, who was we found out later was a poet who did poetry in the Iraqi dialect, and we asked him to share some of his poetry, and it was beautiful. He shared poetry which was translated for us, which essentially meant like this about Imam Hussein saying that this person riding on the horse is not a person, it's actually a Quran, and the Zulfiqar in his hand is not a sword, it's the ayat of Quran. And the ghazal went on like that, and was there was some romantic poetry about Imam Hussein as well that he had written about how much he loved Imam Hussein. And it was beautiful to see this young engineer who was also writing poetry about Imam Hussein. We also ran into we also talked to some of the Iraqi soldiers. Where I had a chance to interact with one of the Ahle Sunnah soldier who basically said that I may be a Sunni, but I love Imam Hussein, and I will give my life for him. In fact, there have been many, many cases. Again, when we were trying to find out, because we would notice sometimes that the ambulances would pass, we were trying to find out about the blast, and they thought that we were concerned about it. So they tried to assure us and say that if there's anything between you, the soldiers tried to assure us and said, if there's anything that comes, we would put our bodies between you and the bombers. And they give examples that there have been many, many cases within all of Iraq where anybody who tried to ignite a bomb before they could do it, a policeman or a soldier gave his life to save the Zayirin of the Imam Hussein. So Alhamdulillah, overall, it was a fascinating experience. There are so many stories that we learned during this, and again, this is probably not the right mechanism to share those stories, but if someone is interested and inshallah joins us next year, they can experience then. Well, what I'll do in the next part of this report is describe a way. We are really, really hoping that inshallah, we will have at least 50 to 100 people with us from Canada and America and Western Europe next year that would walk with us and experience this phenomena for for themselves. And inshallah, we can continue to grow that number of people. And it's just an amazing feeling to have all these people from all these different countries all responding to the call of our Imam who said, Hal min nasir yansurna. And we are responding back by saying, Labbaik ya Hussein. We are 1400 years late. We have our faults, but we have your love in us, and we are saying Labbaik to your call. One other thing I wanted to see that you might see in the pictures is also this. Some of the other fascinating things we found was these signs. For example, we saw a display where women were shown be-hijab and bad-hijab women, those who do not wear the hijab or those who wear it so that their figures are still visible or their hair are still visible. They had made a really interesting model of how they look in the dunya and what they look like in the akhirah, side by side. So you will find that in the pictures in the report that they had built sort of this dunya and akhirah model for these women in the light of ahadith and everything, and they had sounds and everything coming out. And I saw a number of women correct their hijab while passing through this model. We also saw large pictures of Sayyid Muqtada Sadr with the slogan of Hayhat Min Az-Zillah, which is a slogan raised by Imam Hussein that essentially means that zillat is not acceptable to me. That means I will not accept disgrace. And it was fascinating to see that this slogan is plastered all through Iraq where we went. And inshallah, we hope that more people amongst us living in North America will also adopt this slogan of Hayhat Min Az-Zillah, that we will not, we will lead a dignified life. And whether it's our immigration statuses or anything else, we will not accept disgrace, and we will live a life of dignity. And the best way to live a life of dignity is to follow the path of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in terms of our daily choices and action, and not just in terms of our words and claims. Another fascinating thing that we found out while in Iraq was there are some doctors and medical personnel that had come from Imamia Medics. They had put up a camp, and you know we really found that Imamia Medics, Alhamdulillah, is trying to do a lot with the Iraqi people. And again, I think there is a great need for Shia doctors everywhere to contact the local Iraqi hospitals and conduct training there, because there are many preventable diseases that, because of the way Saddam had treated the Shia areas and kept them purposely backward and behind everybody else, there are many preventable diseases that Iraqis suffer from due to the lack of the training of their doctors. And I think anyone living in North America and Western Europe who can take out some time and give back to the community there would be greatly appreciated by the Iraqi people, and inshallah by our Imam Hussein alayhi salam as well.